Our daughter Lindsay and her husband lived in the San Francisco area from 2013 to 2017. She'd gone out there to go to grad school at Berkeley and had gotten a job in Oakland after graduation. After the results of the 2016 presidential election, most people in the country from both parties were shocked. And what I remember most clearly was a conversation I had with Lindsay by phone. "How did this happen?" she lamented. "Of all the people I've met out here, I haven't heard of one single person who voted for Trump." I had to laugh a little bit, because when it comes to political bubbles in the country, I think we can agree Berkeley probably makes the list. I wasn't that surprised she didn't know anyone. Soon after that conversation, I learned about Bill Bishop's book, The Big Sort: Why the Clustering of Like-Minded America is Tearing Us Apart. Bishop says that America may be more diverse than ever, coast to coast, but the places where we live are becoming increasingly crowded with people who live, think, and vote exactly like we do. We've built a country where we can all choose the neighborhood and church and news show most compatible with our lifestyle and beliefs, and we are living with the consequences. Our country has become so polarized, so ideologically inbred, that people don't know and can't understand those who live just a few short miles away. Americans have been sorting themselves over the past three decades into homogeneous communities, not at the regional level or the red state, blue state level, but at the micro level of city and neighborhood. One of the big problems with this political sorting is that our vital, critical thinking skills can start to become dull, don't you think? When everyone we talk with agrees with us, it can get harder to recognize bad ideas on our side, as well as good ideas when they pop up on the other side. It's become a lot tougher to belong to a theologically diverse group too. And the pitfalls of this, I would argue, are the same as are true politically. As it turns out, we Mennonites have had our own version of the big sort that has also been experienced by many other Protestant Christian denominations in the U.S. Many of the more conservative conferences and congregations have left Mennonite Church USA in recent years, including Lancaster Conference, which officially split off at the start of 2018. For better or for worse, we will be a much less theologically diverse group than we once were when we gather together at convention this year. In ways, it's going to be much easier to have certain conversations. In other ways, we're impoverished by the loss of the people and the gifts that those changes mean. It can be so hard to stay connected in relationship despite differences. It takes energy and time and runs counter to our independent-minded culture. As self-sufficient Americans, we sometimes impatiently wonder, is it worth it? Why bother? In contrast, a familiar proverb attributed to an Africanist perspective challenges our American tendency towards individualism. If you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together. I'm so grateful that we don't have to travel alone in our journeys of life and spirituality. The music and prayers that were offered this morning, for example, have already enriched me greatly. Here at Community Mennonite Church of Lancaster, we have one another as traveling companions. And as a congregation, CMCL doesn't travel alone either. We're part of Atlantic Coast Conference, which is a theologically diverse association of 34 congregations and conference-related ministries guided by Mennonite Anabaptist convictions and expressions of faith, mission and service, and justice and peace. Through ACC, we are part of Mennonite Church USA, which is made up of 18 conferences. We gather around a vision of healing and hope that I still find so compelling. God calls us to be followers of Jesus Christ, and by the power of the Holy Spirit to grow as communities of grace, joy, and peace, so that God's healing and hope can flow through us to the world. Through Mennonite Church USA, we're in turn part of Mennonite World Conference, made up of 102 national church conferences and one international association. This communion of Anabaptist-related churches is linked to one another in a worldwide community of faith for fellowship, worship, service, and witness. And of course, as Andre Gingrich Stoner, Director of Interchurch Relations for Mennonite Church USA, reminds us, Mennonites do not exist unto ourselves. We are part of the broader body of Christ. We have important gifts to offer, and we also have important gifts to receive. Being in relationship, he says, with Christians from other traditions helps us to see our own blind spots and our own areas of need as well. So why this morning's focus on our Mennonite Anabaptist tradition? As Bradley P. Holt says in his book, Thirsty for God, a living tradition is a self-critical developing stream, not a moribund repetition of the past. Tradition is the shoulder of previous experience on which we stand to reach upward for what is new. This morning at CMCL, we are celebrating World Fellowship Sunday along with 1.4 million global members of the Churches of Mennonite World Conference, with whom we now share a common faith tradition. The worship resources were prepared by Mennonite World Conference member churches in Latin America and the Caribbean. And the theme we're gathering around is Justice on the Journey, Migration and the Anabaptist Mennonite Story. The worship planners explain why this theme was chosen. Nearly 500 years ago, Anabaptists were persecuted because they claimed primary citizenship in God's kingdom. In addition, Anabaptists recently celebrated 100 years of presence in Latin America and the Caribbean. Now, they remind us, Latin America is experiencing a large displacement crisis where organized crime, violence, and poverty are forcing thousands to flee their homes. Migrants, including Anabaptists, face hardship as they seek safety. Churches, including Anabaptist churches, are investing in outreach to these vulnerable people and trying to decide how best to do that. What captured my attention most about this morning's worship focus is how the planners frame the current crisis. Instead of the us and them language that we hear so much, they talk about we, the church. In this, they offer us a bigger perspective, as well as a call to respond. With the current shutdown of our federal government, the political conflict around immigration dominates our time and attention in the U.S. these days. But the news we get seems to focus almost exclusively on the U.S. and Mexico border and is too often boiled down to the simple wall or no-wall debate. In stark contrast, our Latin American family in Mennonite World Conference reminds us today that migration is far more complex on the ground in their real lives. And we're all called to find ways to respond. They write, Anabaptist Christians today are called to follow Jesus in his ministry of justice making. This includes welcoming migrants. In Latin America, Anabaptist churches are composed of both those who have been migrants and those who welcome migrants. It's not easy to be or have been displaced, nor is it easy to welcome these strangers. And I appreciate them naming the nuance of that. But God is faithful in the midst of these stories of uprootedness and change. The prayers of their hearts in Latin America are for local churches to commit to support migrants in their communities during this next year. And they also pray for all the countries from which the greatest number of people are trying to escape from violence or leaving in search of economic opportunity. Honduras, El Salvador, Nicaragua, Mexico, Colombia, and Venezuela. They also pray for the countries receiving Latin American migrants, such as Brazil, Ecuador, Peru, Colombia, Mexico, the U.S., and Canada. I really appreciate the breadth of these prayers for all who find themselves part of this mass migration and need to decide how to respond. I like feeling that we in the U.S. are part of a large community of many people trying to figure this out. By way of direction, the worship planners point us to three texts today. Luke 4, 18 to 21 draws us together with a reminder of who we follow and for what he stands. After being tempted in the wilderness, Jesus returns to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit and teaching. When he came to Nazareth, he entered the synagogue and began reading. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The Leviticus 19 passage is an even more specific reminder of the just actions God desires of us now. When an alien resides with you in your land, you shall not oppress the alien. The alien who resides with you shall be to you as the citizen among you. You shall love the alien as yourself, for you were aliens. And 1 Peter 2:11 to 12 urges us all to travel well on our journey of faithful life together. Abstain from all that wages war against your soul. Conduct yourselves honorably among the Gentiles, that they may see your honorable deeds and glorify God. So, how might we at CMCL, in communion with other Anabaptists around the world, act to respond with justice to migrants in our community and in other places? Here are a couple ways we've already been reaching for justice on this journey, and I'm sure you all may well know of others. CMCL financially supports Mennonite Central Committee in our annual budget. By pooling our resources with other Anabaptists, we have a much greater and more just impact in the lives of those impacted most directly by immigration. With compassion, MCC supports vulnerable people on the move in several ways. While they're traveling in caravans, after they arrive in receiving countries like the U.S., as well as helping those people who choose to stay and struggle to survive in their home countries. As chair of PACS-JC, CMCL's Peace and Social Justice Committee, Marty Kelly also shared with me a number of ways that CMCL has supported new arrivals to the U.S., welcoming several immigrant families through Church World Services over the years, providing financial and other support for one immigrant family of 10, and of course, working with Covenant United Methodist Church to offer free before-school care for low-income families, including several new immigrant families through MOOS, the Mornings on Orange Street program, which runs Monday through Friday during the school year. In addition, I understand various members of CMCL are or have been ESL teachers who provide direct support for migrant and immigrant families. And of course, CMCL's annual coat drive and shoe drive provide warmth for all in need. I'm so glad that we are finding ways to welcome the stranger here in the Lancaster area. And I hope we continue to challenge each other to find more ways to do that as individuals and as a congregation. Let's also remember that we aren't traveling this journey toward faithful action alone. We need the voices and actions of those who travel with us around the globe. With this in mind, let's take a moment and join in prayer with others around the globe who are praying this prayer this morning. God, we give sincere thanks that Anabaptists around the world gather together in Christian faith across language and cultural differences. We join together to pray that Mennonite World Conference members who are suffering persecution and hardship right now may have the courage and hope to persevere. And we also pray that Anabaptist churches all over the world will be responsive to the needs of newcomers in their communities. And we give thanks for the growing networks in the Mennonite World Conference family, like those around mission, service, health, peace, and education. Now continue to challenge, call, and empower us here at CMCL that we may better join your Spirit's work toward justice in the world. Amen. Despite our differences, the people and churches of Mennonite World Conference are traveling together on this journey of life and faith. As countercultural as it is, and as challenging as it may be at times, may we continue, by God's grace, to reach for communion and justice together with gratitude and joy. Amen.
Thank you for those words, Leslie. And now is the time for us to share with one another.